So we come to the beginning of the church year, Advent. And the scripture reading we just heard, Isaiah 40. I'd like to read some of that again and add a little more. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. A voice cries out in the wilderness. In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them easily and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord. Advent is the time when the church year begins because it is when we begin the process of looking forward to the coming of God. Emmanuel, God is with us. And we do this in many ways. We celebrate it over a four-week period, and this is the first. And we light the candles, the Advent candles, each representing a different quality of Jesus. And the first week is for hope. As we saw Ron and Guyon say their prayers and light the candle, we hopefully feel that presence, or at least we start to prepare ourselves to experience the presence of God in our lives in a deeper way, in a fuller way. You know, Christmas and Advent has become such a big production in our culture, and it's so distant in many ways from its original meanings. But we can reclaim that meaning of the importance of looking forward to the presence of God coming into our lives. Now that's something we might try to look forward to every week we come to church, and in the rest of our lives too. But this particular season is one based on preparing ourselves, preparing our minds, preparing our hearts, preparing our homes, preparing our sanctuary for the welcoming of this most magnificent God, Jesus, our friend, our hope, our support, our servant and the one that we serve both. There's a poem I'd like to share with you that speaks to this. It's called Making Ready for the Lord. Dear Lord, I have swept and I have washed, but still nothing is as shining as it should be for you. Under the sink, for example, is an uproar of mice. It is the season of their many children. What shall I do? And under the eaves and through the walls, the squirrels have gnawed their ragged entrances. But it is the season when they need shelter. So what shall I do? And the raccoon limps into the kitchen and opens the cupboard while the dog snores. And the cat hugs the pillow. What shall I do? Beautiful is the new snow falling. Beautiful is the new snow falling in the yard, and the fox who is staring boldly up the path to the door. And still I believe you will come, Lord.
You will, when I speak to the fox and the sparrow, the lost dog, the shivering sea goose. Know that really I am speaking to you. Whenever I say, as I do all morning and afternoon, come in, come in. Lord, come in to our hearts, into our lives, into our sanctuary, into this place that we hold sacred, that matters more to us than anything. For it is the place we have built, the tabernacle, for your spirit to change and transform us. This church is built on that idea that we know as individuals that we do not have it all figured out. And we know, many of us, that we are broken. And we know that we desire to get this help, the support, the guidance we so desperately need. So we ask you, Lord, to look upon us as we prepare our lives in this Advent season. That you will look upon us with kindness and compassion. And as we welcome you into our lives, that you welcome us into your great, eternal, loving embrace. As you know, those of you that have been with me over the last year plus, I sometimes get a little verklempt. And that is challenging at times for me. I'm sure it must be a little strange for you at times too, but I honestly feel that it's the Spirit coming through me. And as I am, like you, a person, a human, with a personality and history and challenges and issues, as we say, like anyone, sometimes when that Spirit moves me, I don't know what to do but to cry. And I feel a great release, at least some of the times, when that happens. It seems like I'm able to, with the Spirit, clean out some of the things that get in the way. My thinking, or my emotions, or my history, or my concepts about what life is supposed to do and not do. This is one of the things that Advent can help us with. Because just as in our poet's perspective, they're cleaning and trying to figure out what to do with the mice under the sink and the raccoon that comes in the kitchen, we probably don't have actual wildlife in most of our homes in that way, which is a blessing. But at the same time, we might feel that we have a lot of stuff that gets in the way of really welcoming God into our lives. And we might feel that we have a lot of reasons why we can't really do it right now. It's really not a good time right now. Because, you know, the holidays, I got to shop and there's the family and, you know, I've got to do that event at the church and there's just really not enough time. But after the holidays, God, I'm going to have time for you. And that way of thinking leads us into a constancy of it leads us to a place where we really can't make contact with God as easily because we have too many reasons why we don't have time. We don't have the space. And God will understand. Yeah, it's true. God will understand.
God will wait your whole life. God will wait until you're taking your last breath and say, "Do you have time now?" "Well, God, I'm doing this dying thing right now. Can we talk after I've gone over to the other side?" You know, there is so much that we can learn and experience with God in this life. Why did God create all of this? That's a big question. I'm certainly not going to try to begin to explain or talk about that, because I have no idea, really. But I do feel that there are reasons, many of which we may know and many of which we do not know, as to why we are here. And, you know, part of it is to be a good Christian, a good citizen, a good parent or child, a good employee, you know, all of those things, of course. But there is something that we can experience and know and learn in our bodies, in this world, that we cannot learn or experience before we came to this life, or necessarily after we leave this life. Because we don't know really what happens beforehand, and we do not know really what happens afterwards. There's lots of theories, of course, but nothing that I've heard that seems as solid as where we're sitting right now. But if we do not allow ourselves to be open to God's transformative power on our lives while we are living here, as each of us, it is a great shame. Because we experience so many wonderful things in this life, and so many difficult, challenging things in this life. But the depth of God's love is endless. The knowing of God's presence. If you can have that experience, feeling God's presence in your life in a moment in time, that is worth endless years of boredom, of pain, of suffering. Because you will realize, I have found, you will realize that we are not simple bodies, personalities, people who are born and die. That is our outer covering. That is the part we play in this world. But who we are, ultimately underneath, we are one and part of God. And that is the thing that we need to remember whenever and however we can in this life. And by preparing for the coming of Jesus and the nativity time, by being more fully engrossed in Advent and preparing our homes, our churches, our hearts and minds, our families, however you do that, through prayer, through worship, through figuring out what you're buying for whoever for Christmas, or what you're making for your Christmas dinner, by celebrating our 75th anniversary, by opening your Advent calendar one panel a day, whatever it is you do, remember, in preparing ourselves for the arrival of God, God is already arriving. God is here with us now. The Advent is a way to remind ourselves of that and to encourage ourselves to get deeply into that. Another brief poem that ties into the Annunciation. which we'll be talking about more next week.
This is the irrational season when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there'd have been no room for the child.
Advent has a number of sections to it, one of which is the traditional Old Testament version of looking at Advent as the time when those in the Old Testament, the Jews, are looking forward to the coming of the Messiah and the renewing of God's kingdom upon the earth. Then for most of us Christians, we're looking at Advent as the time of looking not only toward the birth of Jesus later in December, but also to the return of Jesus, the time when Jesus will return in the second coming and create the kingdom. So from the Old Testament and the New Testament point of view, there's many similarities. We're all looking to some degree toward the future, to the renewal of God's kingdom, and to the coming of the most perfect God, Jesus the Christ. And there's been many, many generations that have waited for that second coming. So I also see Advent as looking toward the birth of Jesus later in December, as the reminder that God continues to be with us, even if we do not see the second coming as we've heard of it in our lifetime. For Jesus renews in us every time we let Jesus renew in us. And as we prepare our hearts and minds for Jesus' coming on the 25th of December, or for the great majesty in the skies that will come at some time, we know not when, when God is ready for that time to come, we are as prepared as we can be to allow God's work to happen in the world, in and through us and around us. Because if we really want to wait for God to do the job, I think we will wait eternally. Whereas if we are willing to step forward and do God's work, then things can move a lot faster. You know, whether you have a boss or a president or a pope or a father figure or a bishop or a pastor, all good, important roles, necessary roles, but I think in some ways developmental roles. Those are figures that play an important part in our lives and in the lives of our society and in the lives of our institutions. But ultimately, we have to be willing and able to learn from them and learn from the government, learn from the church, learn from our businesses, learn from our families, and then step forward into the life, letting God work through us by giving ourselves fully to God. So Advent is preparing for God's arrival and letting God arrive through us even now. Let me close with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for this season of Advent that helps us prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas. As we worship and light the candles, may excitement for God's coming burn in our hearts. As we hope for your coming as our good shepherd, please gather us in your arms, feed us with spiritual food, wipe away every tear from our eyes, and let your face shine that we may be made one with you. Come, Emmanuel, our God. We are here, ready, willing, and able to serve you. Amen.